appointed here?
Yes, yes, Your Honor.
We do thank you for the excellent service that you've rendered. A question, if this is reversed and it goes back for trial, is Foley and Lardner going to continue to represent Mr. Lindell at a trial?
Good or bad, as a second-year associate, I don't make those decisions.
Very smart.
Thank you. All right. Fifth case is U.S. versus McDonald.
Good morning, Your Honors. Renee Schooley representing DeMarco McDonald, the appellant. This case involved a motion to suppress an illegal arrest, and our position is that the district court erred in the denial of the appellant's motion to suppress. In January of 2005, police, two squad cars, began following the appellant based on a tip that had come in over their radio broadcast that someone driving a maroon Buick had a gun in his car and had been selling crack cocaine in the area. While the officers observed the car go by, they pulled in behind it and began following it. When the appellant came to a 90-degree curve in the road, he activated his turn signal. And based on that, a traffic stop was initiated. Based on the officer's belief that the appellant had violated the Illinois traffic code in using his turn signal when it wasn't needed. Once the vehicle was stopped, the police officers approached the car and observed a gun on the back floorboard of the car and arrested Mr. McDonald. We argued at the suppression hearing that using a turn signal when it wasn't needed was not a violation of the Illinois traffic code, and therefore there was no probable cause to initiate the traffic stop in the first place.
Has any court in Illinois stated that driving straight with a turn signal is not an offense?
No, but they haven't stated it is an offense either, as far as my research could find.
And is it, in your view, clear that Officer Pierce actually did make a mistake?
I believe so, Your Honor, because the traffic code does specify certain things that you are not to use your when you are not to use your turn signal, and if it were a violation to use it when it's not necessary, then I think they would have made that they could have specified that in the code. I believe the district court's holding as far as denying the motion to suppress was based on an improper analysis. In United States versus Wren, the Supreme Court held that a traffic stop is reasonable when police have probable cause to believe a violation of law was committed. The district court based its decision saying that because the officer had reasonable suspicion to believe appellant had committed a traffic offense and had proper basis for the stop, once they saw the gun, they had probable cause to arrest him. But based on the Wren decision, the probable cause must be present when the stop is made. The reasonable suspicion and the probable cause run together, not after the stop, once contraband is observed. In addition, the district court did not address whether using the turn signal when it's not necessary was even a violation of the Illinois traffic code.
What if the officer following him, say, I'm just hypothetical, that it was a 15-mile-an-hour speed limit, and the officer thought he was doing 20 and stopped him, even though he was doing less than 15?
Well, I think that becomes a mistake of fact rather than a mistake of law. which again is something, because the district court didn't rule on whether or not it was a violation of Illinois law, he also did not get to the issue of, well, if it was a mistake of law, can it still support probable cause?
Well, of course, the Eighth Circuit says it really doesn't matter, and I realize there are a number of other circuits that take a different position.
That's correct.
But the Eighth Circuit says it doesn't matter whether it's a mistake, whether the mistake is a mistake of law or fact, as long as it was objectionably reasonable. Why shouldn't we follow their...
Well, our position would be that the analysis used by the 5th, 9th, 10th, and 11th Circuit is the more accurate one, that otherwise we're leading police officers. They can make any mistake and say, well, it was just a mistake, and we're still going to have this intrusion. Maybe not a regular citizen. If I had been in Mr. McDonald's situation, I probably would have turned on my turn signal, knowing that there were two officers behind me. I'm going to be overly cautious. But the police are the ones that are supposed to know what the law is and enforce it. And so I think we need to hold them to a higher standard than just being if it's a mistake of law, then it's not a valid stop. Basically, our position is that the officer was not authorized by law to initiate the traffic stop in the first place. So there was no probable cause, and the decision of the district court should be reversed, and the evidence and statements gained as a result of that stop should be suppressed.
Thank you, counsel. Ms. Scott.
May it please the court, my name is Angie Scott, and I represent the government. Here, the district court did not need to decide whether or not it actually was a violation of Illinois traffic law when Mr. McDonald used his signal when it was unnecessary.
Well, wait, I just have a real problem here. It seems to me, I mean, we know this is a pretextual stop. Mm-hmm. I mean, they stopped because they thought this was the Buick that had the gun, and you agree to that, don't you?
I believe whether or not it's pretextual is irrelevant here.
I understand that. It's we look at the objective facts, but we know these are all pretextual stops. But under Wren, we bless them by saying it's okay if there's some sort of a traffic violation, a little hook that you can put in. Now, if I'm driving down Jackson Street East, as I often do, coming off the expressway, and I put my left turn signal on after I pass LaSalle, I want to turn left and go north onto Clark Street. But as I approach there, I notice, oh, yes, Clark is a one-way going south, so I can't take a left turn. Have I violated a law?
Well, according to the statute, yes.
According to the statute, I have violated. Has there ever been anybody in Illinois ever convicted of putting on your directional signal when you didn't need to do it?
No, I don't believe there has been, Your Honor. But I believe.
Well, has Officer Pierce, let's get specific. Has Pierce ever pulled anyone over for driving straight with a turn signal before?
Mr. Officer Pierce was not asked that at the suppression hearing, so that evidence is not in the record.
Well, I don't know how we can determine whether it was even reasonable. We don't even know the track record, and it's clear that the law is not in your favor.
Well,
right?
I disagree, Your Honor. First off, the district court found that it was objectively reasonable for Officer Pierce to make a stop based on the language of the statute, because the language of the statute could arguably be interpreted to preclude a use of a turn signal in a manner other than what's set forth in the statute, which would be your example.
But this curve we're talking about was almost a 90-degree angle. You agree with that? And the curve, the street changed names. Well, on the curve. And the Illinois statute doesn't say that a turn must be at an intersection. So couldn't his turn, in fact, require a turn signal? I mean, it's like a dead 90-degree turn.
Well, you know, I don't believe that in this instance it was clear that it should have been a place where he would use a turn signal. Excuse me.
I think you'd have a better case if he hadn't made a put his directional signal on and made this turn.
Well, and I don't know. I was not out. You know, we the district court found that Officer Pierce credible, and Officer Pierce testified that when he was behind Mr. McDonald, he saw Mr. McDonald use his turn signal in a manner that was not set forth in the statute. Officer Pierce relied in part...
Explain what that means, not set forth in the statute.
Well, the statute specifically indicates that a turn signal should be used to indicate an intention to turn, change lanes, or start from a parallel parked position.
Right. But in my example of driving down Jackson Street and I want to put my turn signal on,
right,
am I violating Illinois law if I decide either I can't make my left turn because it's a one-way going the other way, or I change my mind.
Well,
I'm not going to turn here. I'm going to go down a couple more blocks.
I think it would be, as the district court found, I think it would be objectively reasonable to believe that you had committed offense because the statute, the language of the statute, could be interpreted to mean that the use that you used it for, which is not set forth in the statute, constitutes a violation.
So if I took my left turn from Jackson on to Clark into the one-way traffic, so I'd be going the wrong direction, I wouldn't violate this particular turn signal law, but I'd be violating the going the wrong way on a one-way street.
That's right, Your Honor. And I think...
Does that make any sense?
I mean, it would... The question here, what the district court found was it objectively reasonable for Officer Pierce to believe that Mr. McDonald had committed a traffic violation?
So then we have now a subjective test. It's whatever the police officer believes. And if we buy into your argument, if a police officer's mistake of law were sufficient justification for a stop, wouldn't the police be encouraged to remain ignorant of the law? You know, would they ever be deterred from violating a defendant's Fourth Amendment rights since they could always claim that they incorrectly thought that there was a law that allowed them to stop a defendant?
No, I think the safeguard here is with the objectively reasonable standard. I mean, this still has to be objectively reasonable for the officer to have believed that it committed a traffic violation was committed. And here the district court said it was because the statute could be interpreted the way it was.
Even though the statute delineates what things are not a violation.
It sets forth two instances specifically where it's not a violation. However, it's not, as the district court found, it's not unreasonable to believe that a use that's not set forth explicitly in the statute would be a violation. And the district court found Officer Pierce's testimony credible. We're not looking at what Officer Pierce believed, not his subjective belief, but rather whether or not he had an objectively reasonable belief that he committed an offense. And the district court judge found that he did. The district court judge relied...
So can we get to this, the bottom line then, in terms of police officers generally? So your position would be if they believed that it was probably a violation of law, even if they were mistaken, it would be okay.
No, that's not my position at all, Judge Williams. Actually, what I'm
because arguing, when you look at what the other circuits have done, they've actually said, you know, there's a distinction to be made between a mistake of law and a mistake of fact.
That's correct. And what I'm arguing is that, as with the Eighth Circuit, whether it's a mistake of law or a mistake of fact should be irrelevant. It should be whether or not this mistake was objectively reasonable. That is the proper inquiry. That's what we are saying here, not that the officer's subjective intentions should be counted, but rather whether or not it's objectively reasonable for them to have did what they did. In fact, there's not only the Eighth Circuit, but also a couple of cases cited by even the defendant in support of their motion, U.S. versus Jenkins and U.S. versus Beckman, have also held that a mistake of law, even if there is a mistake of law, it should be okay as long as it's objectively reasonable. We have also State versus Greer, which is an Ohio appellate court decision. Also, the district court, recognized in its order, the Seventh Circuit, this court has repeatedly held that it's irrelevant whether or not the defendant could have been convicted of an offense or even whether or not the defendant was committing the offense when the officer stopped them for the violation. The question is whether or not the officer believed that a violation had occurred. And here, the district court found that it was reasonable for Officer Pierce to have believed that Mr. McDonald committed a traffic offense when he used his turn signal in a manner that was not provided for in the statute.
I just don't get it when the turn was a 90-degree angle and the street name changed on the street. That's what I'm... So even if we buy your objectively reasonable test, I don't think it was objectively reasonable.
Well, Your Honor, the district court found that it was objectively reasonable. He heard, the district court judge heard the testimony, saw the testimony of Officer Pierce, saw the pictures that the defendant entered at the suppression hearing, and believed that it was reasonable for Officer Pierce to have believed that Mr. McDonald committed a traffic offense in the way that he used his turn signal. As this court has pointed out, and so has the Eighth Circuit, we cannot expect Illinois State Troopers to be able to look at these laws with as legal scholars or to know every nuance of the law. Excuse me.
Well, I don't think anybody's saying you have to look at it as a legal scholar.
Right.
Common sense.
Right. Well, Your Honor, in fact, the district court found that it was reasonable for him to interpret. The district court stated it could arguably be interpreted to prohibit the use of turn signal the way Mr. McDonald used it, and that was the basis for finding that there was probable cause in this case.
Do you think that the officer would have pulled this car over had he not had prior knowledge or information that it was somebody with a gun selling cocaine in that car?
Well, Your Honor, I think regardless of whether or not he would have did that...
Do you really think he would have stopped that car?
Your Honor, I can't answer that. I do not. Officer Pierce was never asked that question, so there's no information in the record on whether or not he would have stopped him if he had not been behind him because of the anonymous tip. But again... Okay, I'm up. Thank you.
Thank you. Maybe you should have used a hand signal. Much time. You have 4 minutes.
Your Honors, I just have a few points to make. And the district court based its decision on the subjective belief of the officer that it was a violation. That's all. They did not get into whether it was a mistake of fact, whether it was a mistake of law, or address any of those issues. As the court pointed out, I haven't heard anyway of anybody ever getting ticketed for leaving their turn signal on when it's not needed, turning it on when it's not needed. But you certainly hear of numerous cases of people not using their turn signal and getting pulled over. I would agree with the court that this definitely was a pretextual stop. That's shown by two officers pulling out behind Mr. McDonald and then a third officer also starting to follow. By the time Mr. McDonald were stopped, there were six police cars at the scene. And certainly I don't believe that Mr. McDonald, this traffic stop, ever would have occurred if it had not been for that information that the police had. I realize that... That doesn't come into play in the analysis, but I would agree with the court that this would not have even occurred if that information had not been provided. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks to both counsel. The case will be taken under advisement.